You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to another edition of William Hill's Daily Racing Podcast. It is Saturday the 15th of February. Ben Barrett in the presenter's chair again. And delighted to say, across from me in the studio is Paddy Aspel. How are you, sir?
How are you, Ben?
Very good, thank you. Have you been in good form this morning on the radio?
Yeah, we've been doing well, thank God. Conditions are actually an awful lot better than maybe what was anticipated.
Yeah.
Certainly at the likes of Haydock, I thought that was going to be a proper bloodbath, and looks a bit wilder down at Ascot wind-wise, but no, generally in the main, we're escaping quite lightly from Storm Dennis.
Exactly. When we were rolling into work this morning, there was fears that we could lose as many as 4 meetings entirely. In the end, we only lost Wing Canton, and the others have just been subject to some pretty sloppy ground. But it's good to hear that actually it's maybe not as bad as first feared. I know we're recording this around about 4 o'clock, so the worst may be yet to come, which unfortunately may have impacts for tomorrow's racing more than anything. Before we get into talking about the good stuff and the brilliant racing we've had today, sad news from Lingfield today. Catchy, the superstar all-weather sprinter, has sadly passed away. Not a lot we can really say or add to the already huge amounts of love and support that have already been given towards Catchy and Connections. So, of course, everyone at William Hill Racing Radio adds our condolences to all concerned. Catchy passing away today after a Lingfield race. Right, we are going to carry on. We're going to talk about some of the good stuff because we have had some really top quality racing today. You've mentioned already that the conditions aren't as bad or as extreme as we were fearing they could be, particularly at Ascot and Haydock. What does that say then about the winners of the big races that we've had today going forward? So, for example, we're recording this not long after Riders on the Storm has beaten Surname home. Do we think that that was a true running from Surname, who have, thankfully is okay after a pretty nasty looking fall at the last?
Well, I mean, I said in the other studio beforehand that my selection for the race was Riders on the Storm.
Yes, as was Leona Mayers yesterday on the podcast, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I just think, you know, the thing is, they were on TV during the week, the Twist and Davis team, and they weren't really taking much credit for, you know, how well this horse had done since coming over from Tom Taft. They sort of said he was ready-made, really. But I actually thought he was bought privately, but Amy just got it up, and they actually bought him to sales, and he looks very, very reasonable now at 50 grand. So whoever sourced him, you know, obviously got the guys interested to get him over from Ireland and buy him at the sales. You know, I know obviously it's easy to say now, but what a good purchase, because whether he'd have won today, I don't know. Would have been interesting to see what he would have found from the back of the lap. He is a very, very tough horse, and he's dogged. And today he actually settled far better than what he has done. I mean, God, he's been easy, especially on his first run for the yard. He was woefully keen and still managed to win. But today, you know, of reasonable fractions, I thought it was the best he'd ever settled. But he did look like the needle was on the red going to the last. And I think Gary Moore's horse has fallen simply because you just watch literally the stride before takeoff. He pricked his ears. Now, I don't know, I'm only guessing, but I think he's had a real look at the big screen. There's a massive, great big screen there, and it's half up the running at Ascot. I think, because it's not like he's not been in front before, he's green horse, but he's done that, and he's literally he's taken his eye off the fence on takeoff, and he's chested it, and he did get a dirty fall, but thankfully he was up okay, as was Surname. But his Surname was just a tired fall. He lay down, really, but thankfully he's okay. But I think the writing was on the wall from a good way down. You could see with Surname, because Surname really, he really attacks his fences, and he almost jumps them like what would you say, he almost hurdles his fences.
Okay,
because he comes with his two front feet first rather than tucking his knees up like what a normal chaser would do. He actually grabs at his fences and has a real cut at them, and that's just how he does it. And he's very, very nice to watch when he does it. But today you could see he stopped doing that from once they turned down the side.
Right, yeah.
He was just wanting to go and pop, and he was more economical. And so you could sort of see that Harry didn't have an awful lot of petrol there. He was looking like, if he'd have stayed on his feet, he was going to finish fourth or four.
Yeah, quite probably, yeah.
So connections would be disappointed, but, you know, both Harry Cobden and Paul Nicholas said during the week in the lead-up to the race that although it was Nico, the Bougainville got down off Altior after they had that head-to-head that time because he'd had such a hard race and took so much out. Harry Cobden said it took an awful lot of his own horse as well that day, because obviously he was beating the King George and was over 20 lengths behind his stablemate that day. But Paul Nicholls was actually quite pleased with how he ran in the King George, because he just said on the day the winner is a proper Kempton horse, and he just, you know, he was on a real, real going day. So they weren't actually that disappointed, but I think maybe the way he goes through his races, it's maybe the season is just starting to catch up with him today, because he was beat earlier today than what he was beating the King George.
Yeah,
and obviously, yeah, for such a great jumper to fall, that means the tank was empty.
It was. You can clearly see that.
And it wasn't even because he made a desperate mistake. He just couldn't get the landing gear out. He was just so fatigued. But luckily we still have him. He's here to fight another day, and connections will just go back to the drawing board. But great. I'm delighted for the Twist and Davis, because, you know, they got old Bally Optic back on form again today to win, you know, with top weight. Incredible old horse. When you thought really he was in the doldrums at the minute, following two below par efforts. But and then obviously Riders on the Storm. Like I say, we'll never know what would have happened. But for me, it looked maybe like the Gary Moore horse was literally going to pick up the pieces of this race.
The outsider of the four.
Yeah.
Yeah, went off about 40, 50 to 1, I think, in the end. It looked like it could have been a really big outsider winner, but Riders on the Storm got there in the end.
He did. I like, the thing is, they spoke on TV with Gary Moore during the week as well about Goshen, and they actually mentioned this horse as well. Simply were going to ask Gary, because he declared him, and he said, oh, there was only four runners. But, you know, Gary said, by no means will this horse be winning. He says, I've got to run him. I don't know whether it was because he's got to qualify him for something or whatever, but it was more like a stepping stone. But sometimes you see it happen, you know, in grueling conditions, in a well-run race, horses that are there literally to pick up as much prize money as possible, as what they were doing with him. Obviously, Gary said he'd be trying his best, but unfortunately for them, it didn't come about. But main thing is, they're going home, they've still got their horse, and they know that, you know, he maybe on another day, that there's a big race in him.
Absolutely spot on, Paddy. You're absolutely right. It is good that all those horses are up and fit and will recover in time. Riders on the Storm, the winner of the 3:35. Of course, that doesn't tell the whole story, though. At the time of recording, we've only had a couple of races at Haydock, actually, and I just wanted to mention the 3:15 at Haydock. Smooth Stepper got the win there. Another sort of bit of an upset, if you like, with that performance. What did you make of it?
I thought the best horse has finished second, Lord Dominey. He's got himself beat through no fault of his own. He just over-raced a little bit. He just loves his job, this horse. I mean, he's only 7-year-old, but obviously he's a French bred, so he would have started life earlier than a lot of his rivals here. But, you know, he's got much fresher legs. But he's in the form of his life, this horse. He's been so well trained by Richard Hobson, so well placed. And today, just conditions being as deep as they were, he, on the front end, Paul O'Brien, who is regular rider, knows him well, he just couldn't get him to drop the bridle enough. And in the end, from the back of the last, you could see that the light was on and he was running out of petrol. And unfortunately, Smooth Stepper, you know, who's 11-year-old, he'd been running reasonable, but, you know, he was winning here from £3 out of the handicap. He was getting £8 from the second. But I don't really think that tells the story, because there was 19 lengths back to Yala Enki. And I just think if Paul's horse had helped him a little bit and just dropped the bridle even a bit earlier, he'd have seen this out here. I'm just disappointed with Richard Hobson because I think he's a very talented trainer. He's a bloodstock agent on the side, and he buys the bulk of his horses, and the bulk of the horses that he trains are all French breds.
Okay.
So he does very well in that market, and this horse in particular, you know, there's a proper big day in him. He'll know he's had a race today, but you know, Richard will freshen him up and get him back again, you know, for another big pop. But I think on the day, you know, fair play to Alex Hales and Harry Bannister, a nice good Saturday winner for them boys, but I think probably the best horses maybe just finished second there.
That was the 3:15 at Haydock. It did serve as a Grand National trial, actually, but more on the Grand National, the other side of the Cheltenham Festival at the very least. That takes care of most of Saturday's action. Was there anything over at Gowran or anywhere else that you wanted to highlight as being a bit of a nice runner? It's been an awkward kind of day with the conditions.
Yeah, well, Rachel Blackmore again, as we're used to seeing most days, but especially on Saturdays now at the big meetings, was having a very good day again. Both Chris's Dream and a front-running ride, and Spyglass Hill, another horse who was very, very unlucky to end up on the floor at Leopardstown the last day in a very, very good race. But she has gone back-to-back in both the 2.54 and the 3.29 race for her boss, but two good pots on a Saturday. The other horse of Willie Mullins is Salus Emery. Great bit of placing, I thought, by Willie to put this horse, who he fits the same bracket. He was very unlucky at the Dublin Race Festival, fell at the first just through sheer crowding. But he didn't run loose because he got the reins tied up in his leg, so he was literally arriving here a very fresh horse, but back over the smaller obstacles in a race that Willie Mullins got a great record in. But he's not got any hurdle entries at the festival.
Okay.
So you would think this was a little bit of a confidence booster after being on the floor, but it was a grade 3 and picked up a nice pot on the way. So for me, fantastic bit of placing by Willie Mullins. Really was.
That takes care of Saturday, as I've mentioned. As part of the podcast, we always like to ask our pundits to preview a couple of races on the following day. Sunday's racing, as it stands, Navan beginning at 1:20, Exeter 1:57. That Exeter card is last weekend's Exeter card, just bumped forward a week after its cancellation. Market Raisin 2:05, Kempton 2:15. At time of recording, there are inspections planned pretty much all over the place. Exeter inspect in about 2 hours from now at time of recording. So if you're listening to this and Exeter has already fallen foul, please forgive us. Thankfully, the races you've picked to preview are both at Market Raisin. The inspection there is at 7 a.m. Sunday. So hopefully everything gets the go ahead, but it's nice to have four cards scheduled in on a Sunday. Let's talk about the first of those races at Market Raisin then. This is the 3:15 to start with. 2 miles, 4.5 furlongs, 10 runners going to post here for a mare's handicap hurdle, 0 to 120. We do have betting available on williamhill.com and on the app. Kilconny Bridge, 3-1 favourite. Miss Heritage is 4-1. Wish is 9-2, 15-2 for Out on Patrol, 15-2 also for Una de la Seigneurie. Robin Gold is 17-2, Luna Baby 9-1, Darlin 9-1, 16-1 for So Lonely, and Osana is 20-1 outsider. Where are we looking here then, Paddy? Was it one or a couple you want to have a look at?
Well, there was a couple, but I do like the mare of Oliver Sherwood's Wished.
Okay.
Very, very low mileage, as, to be honest, the bulk of these are.
Yes.
Pretty low mileage, to be honest. But I think a mark of 108 certainly gives her a little bit of rope to play with Wished. But she's probably been unlucky here to land. Although she is in against her own sex here, it's a very, very strong and competitive mare's race. And I think the mare at the top of the market from the Anthony Honeyball team, who are on an incredible run since the turn of the year, his strike rate is just fantastic, Anthony Honeyball. And in particular, I think I've often mentioned it in the past, there's a select number of trainers who I think are very, very good with fillies and mares.
Okay.
And Anthony Honeyball is one in particular as well, especially his bumper runners in bumper races. And this Kilconny Bridge has one who has come from that route and has done very, very little wrong so far. And a mark of 114, I'm not saying she's absolutely fired in, but the handicapper, and I wouldn't be surprised if Anthony Honeyball was of the same opinion, he could have been harsher.
Yes.
You know, because that even, a mark of 114, you know, that lets him get into a race of 115. I would say he was happy if the handicapper was going to let him get into a race of 120 or less. So 114 for me, I'd say he'd be very, very happy with. She's obviously got to go and prove that, but 11 stone, 9 in a competitive race, but she looks like a mare who's on the improve. And like I said, a lot of these are very, very low mileage and unexposed. But him in particular, Anthony Honeyball, his stringer in rude health at the minute. And like I said, the mares that he has in particular, he seems to sort of target these sort of races, and she is in against her own sex here. I do think this race will throw plenty of winners going forward. It's quite a nice prize. Good card at Market Raising tomorrow, so hopefully it does pass that inspection in the morning, because they've actually been quite well supported numbers wise.
Yeah.
And there's some good money on offer. But Kilconny Bridge in that mare's handicap to get us started.
Kilconny Bridge currently the 3-1 favourite. 4 runs, 3 wins and a second place, and those last 2 wins are combined 23 lengths from the nearest rival. Kilconny Bridge going in good form there. The next race, we're skipping forward just half an hour, staying at Market Raising, the 3:45. It's a handicap hurdle, 0-135. And again, we do have prices available online. Our Power is 5-2 favourite. Fair Part Sivola, 100-30. 4-1 for Black Pirate, 11-2. Christopher Wood, Scorched Earth, 7-1. Barakalu is 17-2. Apples and Pears, 9-1. 16-1 for Waterproof. Might need to be waterproof tomorrow. And Red Tornado. To be fair, we might get a tornado as well at 20-1. So aside from a couple of topical names towards the top end of the market, is there anything on slightly more solid form or better statistically wise to tip up rather than just appropriate names?
I was with the third horse in here, Black Pirate.
Okay.
For James Ewart. Very, very talented horse this. He has had some training issues along the way, but in both his runs this year, it showed that the engine is still there. Got the job done very nicely at Wetherby first time up. And then at Kelso the last day, did have to dig a bit deeper, but showed a lovely attitude. Had to get a real strong, forceful ride from Brian Hughes that day to get him up. But got the job done quite nicely. Mark of 127, obviously, it's going to demand more, but this is a pretty decent animal, this, and it's all about just keeping him sound and keeping him right. But so far, James Ewart has managed to do that. James Ewart is a trainer who is very, very good with horses of this sort of ilk, who are maybe quite delicate and not the easiest to keep right. This chap in particular really sort of highlights that, but they've persisted with him because he is only 8 years old, and you know, he's had very, very few starts, but it's all about just keeping him sound. But obviously, although he did have a hard race at Kelso the last day, he's going back to the well quite quick for one of James Ewart's, because he doesn't tend to over race his horses that much. That was sort of only the last week of January when we last seen him, so he is going back at him, you know, relatively quick for this chap. But he's obviously in good order, and with 11 stone 4 and his regular partner Brian Hughes on board, Black Pirate at round about 4-1 with ourselves here, he'd do for me.
Black Pirate is indeed 4-1, seeking a third win in a row. And to be honest with you, 6 out of the last 7 runs would also be all wins, although the first one of those was back on the 27th of December 2016. A big gap then to the next win. That was on the 3rd of February 2018. Our Power is the 5-2 favourite. And as we've mentioned, Black Pirate is the selection at 4-1. I think that just about takes care of all proceedings today. We'll let you get back into the William Hill Racing Radio studio. Paddy, thanks very much for your time.
No problem, Ben. Cheers.
Thank you.
Racing Radio is available on Alexa smart speakers. Just enable the William Hill Racing Radio skill or say, "Open William Hill Racing Radio," and leave the rest to us.
A huge thanks to Paddy for joining us on the podcast today. As a bit of a Prusy bonus, I'm now going to bring you 2 previews that our retail pundit Sean Quinn did for the 2 Grade 2s at Navan that are hoping to go ahead on Sunday.
The 150 from Navan is the Boyne hurdle, and of course it sees the return of dual Grand National hero Tiger Roll. This race is likely to serve as a stepping stone, though, towards Cheltenham and possibly Aintree after that. And I think he'll get turned over on this occasion. The horse that he beat at Aintree last year was Magic of Light, and the mare is in absolutely rampant form at the moment. She won a valuable mare's contest at Ascot last time out, and I think she can notch a hat-trick of wins here in this contest. The 4 o'clock is the 10-up novices chase, and this year's renewal looks a wide open contest. I'm going to side with the Noel Mead-trained Manella Fair, though, who comes into this race on the back of a career-best performance last time out. He finished third in the Thyestes chase behind Total Recall. I thought that was an excellent run for a novice. He'll have gained a wealth of experience in that race, and he could prove a tough nut to crack here.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.